Bhagavad Lila, Chapter 47, Song of the Bee, Brahma Gita, Part 3, Text 22. Shukadev Goswami said, having heard this, Uddhava then tried to pacify the gopis, who were most eager to see Sri Krishna. Uddhava began relating to the gopis the message of Krishna. Uddhava said, you gopis are all successful and are universally worshipped because you have dedicated your minds in this way to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Indeed, you whose minds are offered in this way to Sri Krishna are certainly successful. Other devotees also offer their minds to the Lord, but we do not see that their minds are offered in this way. Dana vrata tapohoma japa svadhyaya samyame shreyobhir rividais chanye krishne bhaktir hi sadyate. Uddhava said, O gopis, devotional service to Krishna, Krishna bhakti, is attained by charity, strict vows, austerities, fire sacrifices, japa, study of Vedic texts, observance of regulative principles, and by the performance of many other auspicious practices. Vishnath explains, devotion to Krishna can be awakened by various types of sadhana, such as giving charity, if the only aim and objective is the pleasure of Krishna. Dan means donations given to Lord Vishnu and his devotees. Brat means observing vows like Ekadashi. Tapas means renunciation of sense gratification for Krishna's sake. Hom means fire sacrifices dedicated to Vishnu. Japa means privately chanting the holy names of the Lord. Swadhyaya means study and recitation of Vedic texts, such as Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Other auspicious practices, Shreyobhir Vividaish Chanye, refers to various corollary aspects, bhakti angani, of devotional service. Bhagavat yuttama shloke bhavati birnuttama bhakti pravartita dishtya muni nam apidurlabha. O gopis, by your great fortune you have established an unexcelled standard of pure devotion for the Lord, uttama shloka, a standard even the sages can hardly attain. Anuttama bhakti. Your bhakti is very different from all other types. The gopis have brought to this world the most excellent standard of pure love of God that was previously unknown on the earth. Uddhava continued, however, following in the footsteps of your spontaneous devotional service, Ragatmika bhakti, Raganuga bhakti, advanced sadhana bhakti with attachment, will be spread as a practice in the future. This is for the good fortune of the people in general. O gopis, it is my good fortune that you have given up your sense of possessiveness toward your husbands, homes, and families, and accepted the supreme male named Krishna as your enjoyer. The gopis replied to Uddhava, how is it fortunate for you that we have given up wealth and our wealth and families to accept Krishna, the supreme male? Uddhava answers in verse 27. Pure love for Krishna who cannot be perceived by the material senses is very rarely attained. You gopis, however, have wholehearted love for Krishna, which is perfectly complete and manifest in all its true aspects. In other words, you possess Mahabhav. As the sun spreads to all by transference of heat, and the moon spreads itself to all by transference of coolness, similarly, Mahabhav spreads itself to all people by transferring its own nature. When the fifth stage of Krishna Prema, known as Anurag, attains states of being conscious of only itself, of its own taste, while clearly manifesting various sattvic bhavas, and reaches its maximum possible state, is called Mahabhav. Uddhava said, Mahabhav is the seventh level of Krishna Prema, and it manifests in you gopis and no one else, not even Lakshmi. What is Mahabhav like? It is a special privilege which has been given by Krishna to you women alone and no one else. By your manifestation of love and separation, you have mercifully shown me all the various aspects of Mahabhav, such as Chitrajalpa and Divyonmad. If you had not experienced separation from Krishna, he would never have sent me here. I would never have seen this great wonder. Shriyatam priyasandesho bhavatinam sukavaha yamadayagato badra ahambartu rahaskara. My dear ladies, please hear your beloved's message, which I, the confidential servant of my master, have come here to bring to you. The gopis replied, O Uddhav, in speaking about Mahabhav, what is the use of praising us and yourself? You came here to pacify us, so do you have some message from Krishna which can remove our sorrow? If you have, please tell us. Uddhava replies in this verse, as the executor of confidential duties for my master, I brought a message from a beloved which will bring you happiness, so please listen. Text 29. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bhavatinam Yogo Me Nahi Sarvatmana Kuchit Yatabhutani Bhuteshu Kambayo Vagnir Jalam Mahi Taham Chamana Prana Bhutendriya Gunashreha. The message from Krishna is, the Supreme Lord Bhagavan said, O gopis, you are never actually separated from me, for I am the soul of all creation. Just as the elements of nature, earth, air, fire, water, and earth, are present in every living being, so I am present within everyone's mind, life, and senses. And also within the physical elements and the modes of material nature. Krishna's first message, which gives instructions in philosophical knowledge, acts to reveal the unassailable strength of the gopis' prema to the most intelligent scholars, and to hide the greatness of their love from the dull-minded. Krishna said, through Uddhava, I am giving the gopis the nectar of knowledge, but it could not extinguish the fire of their love. Rather, that knowledge got consumed by the heat of that fire. Just see the power of the gopis' love. The gopis' prema has been proven the strongest because it has rendered useless the Gyan Yoga taught by me, the Lord of the Mind in Yoga. Due to the extreme confidentiality of the subject, now let us continue with the explanation of the verse. Supreme Lord said, these are Uddhava's words. The reason is as follows. Uddhava thought, I find it difficult to understand the meaning of his words. Therefore, I will reveal Krishna's message to the gopis as if he were directly saying it, keeping the ambiguity of his message intact. Krishna said, O gopis, you are never separated from me, so why are you crying over and over with a wish to die? The gopis responded, how are you never separated from us? Krishna's message. I am never separated from you. Because I am the Super Soul pervading all things. All the revealed scriptures, the great sages like Argamuni, the great demigods like Vidyadhara. Krishna said, O gopis, you are never separated from me, so why are you crying over and over again with the wish to die? The gopis responded, how are you never separate from us? Anticipating the gopis may say that, Krishna answers, O unintelligent girls, I had Uddhava instruct you only in the methods of pure love. How did you conclude I was teaching Gyan? Your separation from me is not separation in a complete sense, but it is only in terms of the body. Pure love is a function of the soul. My Atma, in the sense of soul, intelligence, mind, and senses, is still residing with all of you gopis in Braj. It was merely my body which I took to Mathura. Similarly, your senses, intelligence, and mind reside with me in Mathura, and only your bodies remain in Braj. All scriptures proclaim that I am subservient to pure love. I am not independent in the matter of love. Thus, the separation between you and me, who have a bond of prema, exists only in the separation of our bodies, and this gives rise to sentiments of suffering and separation. Now, using that vehicle of separation, prema desires to increase itself to the utmost. Thus, even though I have a great longing, how can I immediately bring my body to Braj? But when that prema, upon reaching its desired level and exhibiting the mood of full separation, ascends to the stage of direct union, only then will I be dependent on that prema, be obliged to bring my body to Braj. By this, Krishna is implying that the bodily separation between he and the gopis will disappear in the future. I take shelter of the mind, life, air, intelligence, senses, and words of all of you gopis who are always meditating upon me in pure love. Taking shelter in each of these, I manifest myself and thus am always present with you. Text 30. Bhagavan Sri Krishna said in his message to the gopis conveyed by Uddhav, by myself I create, sustain, and withdraw myself within myself by the power of my personal energy, which comprises the material elements, senses, and the modes of nature. Furthermore, I am the subject doing action. I am the location of action, and I am the object of action. Upon the substratum of myself, I create the universe, which is myself. The gopis reply, but your form is Satchidananda, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, and this universe appears to be different from that. Krishna replied, the universe is created from my Maya Shakti, which in turn creates all material elements. Though the external energy Maya Shakti is one of my forms, it is not my original personal form. The gopis take this to mean, quote, Krishna is saying, I make my appearance in your minds by my own effort, for the sake of conjugal union and other pastimes. I maintain that form for a moment, and then I make that form disappear. Gopis ask, by what particular effort do you do this? Krishna, I accomplish this by the power of my yoga maya, atma maya anubhavena. Gopis, what is the nature of the self that you make appear? Krishna, it is that form with all my limbs, my senses such as eyes, my qualities like beauty, sweetness, cleverness, and intelligence. Text 31. Being composed of pure consciousness or knowledge, the soul is distinct from everything material and is uninvolved in the entanglements of the modes of nature. We can perceive the soul through the three functions of material nature known as wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep. Jagran, Swapna, and Sushupti. Vishnath. If the gopis ask, but then how is it that the people in general do not know your original true identity, Krishna? Krishna answers, my original form, which is transcendental to the modes of nature, is perceived everywhere as the indwelling supersoul. The supersoul possesses pure spiritual knowledge, which is transcendental to the modes of nature, and has no connection with them. Though I am the creator, due to my inconceivable power, Achintya Shakti, I remain pure and never directly contact the material modes of nature. Though forever existing within the material bodies, the supersoul remains distinct. Moreover, even though I am the controller of the modes of nature, I am not involved with them. The supersoul can be inferred through the material functions of the mind during waking, sleeping, and dreaming. For the gopis, this verse means, Krishna was saying, though residing in Mathura, I, being full of knowledge, am always conscious of you gopis, and I never forget you. Even though I am present here in Mathura, I am free from any fault of associating with the women of Mathura, because I remain aloof. I am severely pained by my separation from you gopis. So how could I get pleasure from any other woman? I continually dwell on your qualities, such as your tender beauty and sweet sidelong glances. Similarly, you can also always perceive me with your mental faculties during the three states of sleeping, dreaming, and waking. In deep sleep, Sushupti, you can perceive my general form and qualities as Paramatma. In dreams, you can perceive my particular form and qualities. And in waking consciousness, you can perceive me directly with a full manifestation of my laughing, dancing, and other characteristics of the sweet pleasures of union, Sambhog Madhuryam. Text 32. As a person just arisen from sleep may continue to meditate on a dream, even though it is illusory, so by the agency of the mind, one meditates on the sense objects, which the senses can then obtain. Therefore, one should become fully alert and bring the mind under control. Vishnu Chakravarti. Krishna said, this Gyan Yoga which I have imparted to you bears fruit when the mind is restrained. In the waking state, a man meditates on material objects in his mind. While dreaming as well, by the mind he meditates on dream objects, even though they are false. Thus the mind and senses should be restrained. A person who is careful and alert obtains knowledge. For the gopis, this statement of Krishna means, Waking from a swooning condition, persons like yourselves should reject as an unreliable source of knowledge that mind by which they meditate on the objects of the senses, such as seeing me, touching me, drinking the nectar of my lips, and embracing me. Although these are real because they come from my actual appearance in this world, they are yet false as in a dream state. This is because upon giving up your sleeping condition, you appeared with eyes and other senses devoid of mascara, eye coloring, or sandalwood paste. I understand that though I gave you all sorts of enjoyment, you consider all that enjoyment false due to being blinded by loving attraction to me and having lost all discretion because of your excessive anxiety of separation. All this gives me great unhappiness. Therefore, I have sent this message to convince you of the reality of all these pastimes we performed. Text 33, Krishna's message. According to intelligent authorities, this is the ultimate conclusion of all the Vedas, as well as all practice of austerity, yoga, sankhya, renunciation, sense control, and truthfulness, just as the sea is the ultimate destination of all rivers. Vishwanath. The import of this verse is all the methods described in all the shastras have as their purpose control of the mind. For the gopis, this verse of Krishna, or this message of Krishna means, quote, as one transcends material existence by controlling the mind, similarly, you can transcend the pain of separation from me by mind control. It is the uncontrolled mind that makes you perceive your association with me as illusory, even though it is real. Text 34, Krishna's message. The actual reason why I, the beloved object of your sight, have stayed away from you is that I wanted to intensify your meditation upon me and thus draw your minds closer to me. Vishwanath, the gopi said, O Uddhava, by this news from Krishna, you have doubled our pain. Therefore, should we call the sender of this message ignorant of the proper time, place, and person? Or should we criticize you instead for being so thoughtless? You have brought this burden of Brahma-gyan so far, but who will buy it here in Braj? Can we gopis, who from birth have been drinking the nectar of Krishna's beauty, now drink the bitter neem sap of Brahma-gyan? It is better that the women of this place give up their lives, if only such an abominable thing is available as food. Better they die of starvation. Now just listen, you great fool, just listen. This Brahma-gyan, which is found in the leaf huts of the hearts of great saintly physicians, is a medicinal herb that can certainly cure the disease of material existence. But can it cure the grave disease of Krishna Prema? Did those doctors ever research this disease? After learning the science of medicine from Sandipani Muni, Krishna taught you, Uddhava, and then sent you to us with the herbal cure to relieve the great fever of prema. You can now be our messenger, Uddhava, and take this medicine back to its sender. Drinking it, Krishna will extinguish his fever of prema for us. Make sure that no trace of fever remains. As for us, May our great fever of prema remain for 100 births. And if you have no such herb with you, Uddhava, then what can be done? Alas, can the torrents of rain that will put out a forest fire extinguish the fire of lightning? If we find within Krishna's message something a little favorable to us, is that his intention, or is it just an accident? We cannot place any faith in him. After the gopis spoke in his angry mood, Uddhava answered, "O ladies, just listen to me for one moment with attention. I have brought you another message apart from this knowledge of Brahma-gyan. The general meaning of Krishna's message is as follows, that I, who am so attractive to your eyes, am now situated far away from them, is simply out of my desire to increase your meditation on me. By that meditation, your minds are drawn to me. Therefore, now I am very close to your minds." You gopis are also extremely attractive to my eyes, and since you are now far away from my eyes, please remain near my mind. Thus it is deduced that an object of attraction is far from the mind when it is in the vicinity of one's eyes, and near the mind when it is far from the eyes. Of the two, the mind is more important. Therefore, I desire that you remain close to my mind. May that be your desire as well. Krishna's message. When her lover is far away, a woman thinks of him more than when he is present before her. Vishwanath. This verse considers the relative importance of feeling with the heart and seeing with the eyes. This example holds true for men and women as well. Like women, men become more absorbed in thinking of a beloved woman when she's far away than when she is present before their eyes. Krishna's message. Because your minds are totally absorbed in me and free from all other engagement, you remember me always, and so you will very soon have me again in your presence. Vishnu. The gopi said, "O Uddhav, this message also you should keep in the treasure box of your heart. Though Krishna is now enjoying the women of Mathura, sometime in the future he will be far from their eyes. At that time you can give this message to them. But right now, this message is unacceptable to the women of Braj. Previously, even when Krishna was present here and visible to our eyes, and then absent for a moment, that moment of absence felt like 100 yugas. During each minute of that separation period, the gopis would have drawn Krishna into their minds with thousandfold feelings of separation." When the gopis spoke sarcastically in this way, Uddhava replied, "O women, if this message does not appeal to you, then hear another message from me. I have brought many messages." Uddhava said, "As you have completely rejected objects like house and husband, and absorb your minds in constant remembrance of me, very soon you will attain my personal presence." Text 37, more a message. Although some gopis had to remain in the coward village and could not join the rasa dance to sport with me at night in the forest, they were nonetheless fortunate. Indeed, they attained me by thinking of my potent pastimes. Vishwanath. This verse gives proof of Krishna's personal presence when some gopis were locked in their houses by their husbands on the night of the Rasa-lila. Krishna's message said, "Why were some gopis not able to sport with me on the night of the Rasa-lila in Vrindavan? They were forcibly kept back in their homes in Braj by their husbands. Although they wanted to die because their desires could not be fulfilled, and because they experienced great pain and separation from me, still they were very fortunate. Thus, remaining alive, they attained me by remembering the Rasa dance and other pastimes. In other words, I appeared directly before them in their homes in Braj and enjoyed pastimes with them during that night. After that, on other nights, they entered the Rasa dance on the bank of the Yamuna." Text 38. The damsels of Braj were very pleased to hear this message from their dearmost Krishna. Krishna's words revived their memory, and then the gopis addressed Uddhava as follows. "This Vishwanath, this verse was spoken by the gopis who had been trapped in their houses and mentioned by Krishna, verse 37. Those gopis said, 'Uddhava, it's true. During that night, we enjoyed with Krishna.' After hearing from Uddhava, these gopis remembered their own experiences, which were proof of his words. They then became satisfied with Uddhava and talked politely with him." The gopis said, text 39, "It is very good that Kamsa, the enemy, has been killed. And it's also very good Lord Achyuta is living with his well-wishing friends and relatives, whose every desire is now fulfilled." Text 40. Some gopis, other than those who were prevented from going to the Rasa-lila, then spoke with jealousy in this verse. The jealous gopis said, "We worshipped Krishna with our pleasing, shy smiles and generous glances. Is Krishna now stimulating the love of the women of Mathura with his bold glances? Is Krishna worshipping them? Oh, Shiva, Shiva. Although that glance is meant to be worshipped by us, it has become their worshipper. This is our great misfortune." Text 41. "Oh, foolish women, why are you asking the same question again? You should have no doubt about this." In this way, other gopis spoke sarcastically with concealed anger. The gopis said, "Because Krishna knows everything about love affairs, he has become the darling of the women of Mathura. So how will he not become attached to them? Being constantly worshipped by their words and services, Krishna will respond to them and be forced to render service to them also. Therefore, we village women have no special conjugal attraction, Rati Vishesh, to offer Krishna, that most exalted person. We are not skilled in the use of such polite words and proper gestures. Thus, we have rightly concluded that Krishna has abandoned us, gopis, on attaining the cultured women of Mathura." Text 42. "O Uddhava, O saintly one, does Govinda ever remember us during his conversations with the city women? Does he ever mention us village girls as he freely talks with them? Surely Krishna has abandoned us because we deserve to be abandoned. Indeed, we are the most insignificant women in the world and have been rejected after having been enjoyed. Still, do we sometimes enter into Krishna's memory on account of some good quality of ours, or even because of something we did wrong? Krishna must speak very freely with the city women. He and the Mathura ladies must sing and joke and make riddles and talk about so many things. Does Krishna ever say, 'My dear city women, your sophisticated singing and speech is unknown to the gopis in my home village. They couldn't understand these things. Does he ever speak about us even in that way? Uddhava, does Krishna recall those nights in the Vrindavan forest, lovely with lotus, jasmine, and the bright moon? As we glorified Krishna's charming pastimes, he enjoyed with us, his beloved girlfriends, in the circle of the rasa dance, which resounded with the music of ankle bells. Vishwanath, O dear gopis, what is the use of criticizing Krishna and the women of Mathura with crooked words? Why don't you speak straightforwardly? Due to the loving expertise of other women and our own misfortune, Krishna may indeed forget us, but how can he have forgotten his own place of residence? In this way, some gopis spoke while crying. In the charming forest of Vrindavan, along the Yamuna's banks, which were splendorous with brilliant white lotuses, jasmine, and moonlight, Krishna enjoyed with us at the Rasarina, which resounded with the sounds of ankle bells. Where is there such a riverbank in Mathura? Where else is the music, song, and dance so pleasing to Krishna? The intimate talks we had with Krishna were praised by the Swargadevis riding in their vimans. Do the vile women of Mathura know any such conversations with Krishna? Who in Mathura knows how to make unguents, flower crowns, garlands, and betel nut preparations for Krishna's pleasure? By remaining in Mathura, Krishna's happiness has completely disappeared. We will die in disappointment just thinking of Krishna's lack of bliss. If there were some woman in Mathura like us who could please Krishna, then he could enjoy dancing with her, playing his flute and other pastimes. If we heard that such a woman existed, then we could remain in Vrindavan happily, even though separate from Krishna. Gopi said, O Uddhav, 44. Will that descendant of Darsharha, return here, and by the touch of his limbs, bring back to life those who are now burning with the grief he himself has caused? Will Krishna save us in this way, just as Indra brings a forest back to life with his water-bearing clouds? O Sakis, said one gopi, because Krishna is unhappy there, he will immediately return here. Believing this, another gopi said, will Krishna really come to Braj and bring us, who are burning up with grief because of him, back to life with the touch of his beautiful hand? Text 45. But why should Krishna come here after winning a kingdom, killing his enemies, and marrying the daughters of kings? He's satisfied there, surrounded by all his friends and well-wishers. Hearing this, one obstinate gopi of the left-wing Bhamya nature spoke, Hey, Sakis, foolish women, you don't know at all what happiness Krishna gets during the rasa dance. Hear from me what type of happiness he likes. Expressing herself in such crooked words, she speaks this verse. Why will Krishna return to Braj? Here, Krishna has to undergo the hardships of tending cows, and in Mathura he has obtained a kingdom. Here, Krishna can only sport with women from the cowherd caste, and there he can enjoy with ladies of noble descent. So what happiness can Krishna enjoy here? Here, Krishna is a cowherd boy. There he is a king. After some time, Krishna will surely get married there, Vishnu says. This particular point refers to Krishna's marrying Rukmini while living in Mathura, which occurred in another kalpa or day of Brahma, according to the Puranas. It is mentioned in Gopal Tapani Upanishad 2.4.8 that Krishna, Balaram, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna, and Rukmini stay in delightful Mathurapuri. Gopis go on, text 46. The great soul Krishna is the lord of the goddess of fortune, and he automatically achieves whatever he desires. How can we forest dwellers or any other women fulfill his purposes when he is already fulfilled within himself? Aptakam Anatmaram. Vishnath. O Sakis, give up this jealousy and enmity toward Krishna, who is completely devoid of love for us. One gopi thus spoke about Krishna's indifference towards everything. It may be questioned. Since Krishna is the master of the goddess of fortune, doesn't he, in fact, have love for her? No, because Krishna is aptakamasya, fulfilled in all desires, and kritatmana, self-complete. For him who is complete by nature, what need does Krishna have for Lakshmi? Therefore, there is no princess in Mathura suitable to marry him. This confidential truth is being subtly implied to Uddhava. Gopis, go on. Indeed, the greatest happiness is to renounce all desires, as even the prostitute Pingala has declared. And even though we know this, we cannot give up our hopes of attaining Krishna, Vishwanath. One gopi replied, therefore you should give up all hopes of attaining Krishna. Another gopi said, but we cannot give him up under any circumstance. First gopi, it is difficult for anyone to give up hope concerning Krishna. Pingala had desires for men other than Krishna. Therefore, she could give up those desires. Text 48. Who can bear to give up intimate talks with Lord Uttama Shloka? Although he shows no interest in her, Goddess Sri never moves from her place on Krishna's chest. Vishwanath. One gopi said, though a greedy man may not attain his desired object, he does not give up the desire for that object. Who can bear to give up the experience of Krishna's beauty and sweetness? No one at all. Though Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is ignored by Krishna, she does not give up his chest, but remains there always in the form of a golden lion. Text 49, gopi said, dear Uddhava Prabhu, when Krishna was here in the company of Sankarshan, Baladev, he enjoyed all these rivers, hills, forests, cows, and flute sounds. Text 50. All these remind us constantly of Nanda's son. Indeed, because we see Krishna's footprints, which are marked with divine symbols, we can never forget Krishna. Vishnath, one gopi said, when the memory of a desired object vanishes, the hopes for it also vanish. However, that will never happen with us, because we can never forget Krishna. A gopi said, the rivers, hills, forests, cows, and flute were resorted to or utilized regularly by Krishna when he was in Braj. We cannot forget Krishna, because we see his footprints marked with the divine symbols of a flag, thunderbolt, etc., remaining in the earth and stones. 51. O Uddhava, how can we forget Krishna when our hearts have been stolen away by the charming way he walks, his generous smile and playful glances, and his honey-like words? Vishnath, Uddhava suggested, gopis, if you keep remembering Krishna by looking at the rivers, mountains, and forests of Braj, then bind a cloth around your eyes. Use your intelligence to lead your mind to some other thought and forget Krishna. And Gopi replies, O Uddhav, it is not possible to forget Krishna because we no longer possess our intelligence. Since Krishna has taken it away by his supreme beauty, charm, and honey-sweet words. Hey Nath, hey Ramanath, Vrajanatarti Nashanam, Magnam, Udara Govinda, Gokulam, Vrijinarnavat. O Master of the Goddess of Fortune, O Master of Braj, O Destroyer of all suffering, Govinda, please lift your Gokul out of the ocean of distress in which it is drowning. In this text 52, the gopis' feelings become so strong that they disregard Uddhav, and turning towards Mathura, they call out to Krishna in pitiful voices. O Krishna, you attract our minds, even though you're unworthy. O Lord of Lakshmi, we also need to be mastered. O great reservoir of amazing sweetness and tasteful loving reciprocations, which are begged for even by Lakshmi. O Master of Braj, Braj needs your shelter. O Remover of Suffering, Arti Nashan, in the past you performed many inconceivable pastimes to protect us, such as lifting Govardhan Hill to free us from the distress caused by Indra. Now, however, we gopis are drowning in an ocean of the most intense suffering caused by separation from you. Please come of your own accord and save Gokul, which will be destroyed either today or tomorrow. O Govinda, come resume your duties of protecting the cows and supervising their grazing. Enough with the sending of messengers. Shukadev said, Krishna's message having relieved their fever of separation, the gopis then worshipped Uddhava, recognizing him as non-different from Krishna. Uddhav remained in Braja for several months, dispelling the gopis' sorrow by chanting Harikatha, Krishna's Leela. Thus he brought joy to all the people of Gokul. Vishnu's purport. When out of sorrow, the gopis' hope for Krishna's return grew dim, they became eager to give up their lives. Uddhava made them happy by speaking yet other messages, even more confidential. Though Shukadev has not explicitly described those messages, one can understand them by the results they had in the gopis. Krishna said in his message, O you who are as dear to me as life, while you are standing before my messenger Uddhav, just close your eyes. Just as the coward boys closed their eyes and were delivered from the forest fire, close your eyes and I will deliver you from the devastating fire of separation. Witness my mystic power. Hearing this message, the gopis closed their eyes. In a flash of a second, Yogamaya compressed millions of years of time into a single moment. Krishna then appeared on that spot, and in the company of the gopis enjoyed the rasa dance in the Vrindavan forest, playing dice, drinking honey liquor, water sporting, and swing pastimes. By enjoying all these pastimes with Shyam, the gopis forgot all their pains of separation. Seeing that all their limbs were exuberant in ecstasy, Uddhava paused a moment and said, Now, ladies, open your eyes again. Upon opening their eyes, the gopis felt that they had taken a new birth through the bestowal of a thousandfold bliss as when they had closed their eyes. Recognizing Uddhava as non-different from Krishna, they then worshipped Uddhava. Krishna said in the message, O women filled with prema, if you give up your lives, I will also give up my life upon hearing this news. Don't doubt it. Swearing 1,000 times, I declare that you are my very life. Even though I am trying to go to Braj at every moment, I am unable to do so. Perhaps I am being kept here because the time of the endeavor is not right, or else because the love of the Mathuravasis have for me is an obstacle. By such messages, the gopis' fever of separation, viraha dvara, caused by their thinking that Krishna had no love for them, was completely dispelled. Thinking that Krishna was afflicted by the pain of separation like themselves, or thinking that Krishna was their very life, the gopis then worshipped Uddhava. The gopis said, O Uddhava, you have spoken well. Now even at the cost of suffering the greatest pain, we will remain alive. If you had not given this message to us, we would have certainly died, and everything would have been destroyed. Therefore, by saving us, you have fulfilled your desire to protect everyone involved, and thus we worship you. Krishna's purport. Any person who has become mad with bliss by sporting in the nectarine ocean of topics of Krishna thinks of the four goals of human life as insignificant as a blade of grass. It can be seen that even the most potent knowledge of the soul can never cover one who has fully developed Krishna prema. When Vasudeva and Arjuna saw the Maheshvarya aspect, supreme opulence of Krishna, their parental and friendly relationships became covered by dasya bhakti, devotion in the mood of servitude, but not by brahmagyan, knowledge of Brahman. It has been seen that the Brijvasis were merged in brahmagyan, but this was only to show their distaste for knowledge of Brahman. Krishna brought the Brijvasis to the lake of Brahman, merged them into it, then brought them out. Te tu brahma radham nita magna krishnena chodrida. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.16. The phrase udrita, brought them out or delivered them, means just as living entities are delivered from the ocean of samsara, the inhabitants of Braj were delivered from the repulsive Brahman. If the gopis had developed monistic atmagyan, then they would not have spoken to Balaram with such unsettled minds as they did when he later returned to Braj. Text 55. All the days that Uddhava dwelled in Nanda's coward village seemed like a single moment to the residents of Braj, for Uddhava was always discussing Krishna. The name Uddhava means extreme bliss, and besides, Krishna had also empowered Uddhava with the capacity to bestow bliss on others. Thus the time passed in a moment for the Brijvasis, who felt extreme happiness in the association of Uddhava, who is none other than bliss personified. Seeing how the gopis were always disturbed because of their total absorption and Krishna, Krishna Veshatma Viklavam, Uddhava was supremely pleased. Desiring to offer them all respects, he sang as follows. And these are the prayers of Uddhava. Very beautiful verses, worthy of memorization and remembrance. Uddhava was chanting these prayers every day. Text 58. He tak param tanuprito bhuvi gopavadvo Govinda eva nikilatmani rudha bhava Vanchanti yad bhavabhyo Muniyo vayamcha kim brahma janmabir ananta katara sasya. Uddhava was saying, among all the persons on earth, the coward damsels of Braj alone have actually perfected their embodied lives, for they have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Lord Govinda. The gopis' pure love is hankered after by those who fear material existence, by great sages, and by ourselves as well. For one who has tasted the narrations of the infinite Lord, what is the use of taking birth as a high-class Brahman, or even Lord Brahma himself? In five verses, verse 58, this one, through 62, Uddhava describes the outstanding glories of the Brajagopis. Vishnu's purport, he says, Uddhava sang, the gopis alone have perfected their lives by achieving Rudhabhav, Mahabhav, which those striving for liberation, those who are liberated, and devotees such as I, desire but cannot attain. Therefore, for one who has attraction to the topics of the unlimited Lord, what is the use of brahminical birth? The threefold births by seminal parenthood, the sacred thread initiation, and the sacrificial initiation which pertain to brahmanas. There is nothing special about these three births, since just by attraction to the topics of the unlimited, one can attain the highest achievement. Or else, for one who is attracted to the topics of the unlimited, what is the value of brahminical births, since lack of attraction to Krishna's topics, anantakata, renders all such births useless? Text 59. Kve mastriyo vanacharir vyabhichara dushta krishne kochesha paramatmani hruda bhava nan vishvaronu bhajato vidisho pisakshach treyastanot yagara raja ivopayukta. How amazing it is that these simple women who wander about the forest, seemingly spoiled by improper behavior, have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Krishna, the Supreme Soul. Still, it is true that the Supreme Lord himself awards his blessings even to an ignorant worshipper, just as the best medicine works even when taken by a person ignorant of its ingredients. Vishnu's purport. Therefore, the reason for someone being most exalted is devotion alone, and not such factors as performance of austerities and knowledge. Though this devotion is most exalted, it is not deemed so by the common people. Remaining in such a place, pure devotion makes one its own shelter, making him most exalted, worshipable by all, and most rarely approachable. Uddhava speaks about this in verse 59 and 60. With astonishment, his hair is standing on end while he spoke these verses. Uddhava sang, the gopis are considered lowly on account of their being women, their low birth as cowherds, and their behavior. Since it is their nature to wander about the forest, they are naturally contaminated by improper behavior. So where have these women attained Mahabhav, Rudhabhav for Krishna, the Supreme Soul, who is the source of all other souls, this and superior to all his other forms, such as the Lord of Vaikuntha? In other words, where else have such persons as these apparently insignificant and impure gopis attained the highest perfection of life, namely unalloyed pure love for Krishna? It seems most astonishing that the Brajagopis could be so spiritually elevated. But on thinking a moment, Uddhava decided, ah, it is not so amazing. Uddhava continued thinking, quote, certainly the Supreme Lord can give this most auspicious thing to such persons as this, who are without philosophical knowledge of Atman Brahman, and not just to perfected persons. To devotees like the gopis, Krishna gave liberation from samsara and a pure ecstatic taste of his love, which is difficult to attain even for liberated souls. Amrit, or nectar, the king of medicines, gives substantial benefits by bestowing a unique sweet taste along with dispelling a person's disease, even to one ignorant of its identity or power. Similarly, why then should Krishna not give that most exalted Mahabhav, which even devotees like Narada cannot attain, to these Brajagopis, who are perfect in devotion and eternally liberated? Besides that, these gopis are in full knowledge of Krishna's personal form and identity, qualities, opulences, and sweetness, and they have engaged their intelligence in Krishna's service, as well as all the limbs of their bodies, their youth, feminine charms, and all their ornaments. Vishnu says, there are three types of adulterous women. The first is a woman who enjoys both her husband and a lover, being faithful to neither. Both ordinary society and the scriptures condemn this conduct. The second type of adulterous woman is she who abandons her husband to enjoy only with her lover. Society and the scriptures also condemn this behavior, although such a fallen woman may be said to at least have the good quality of dedicating herself to a single man. The last kind of adulterous woman is she who abandons her husband and enjoys in the attitude of being a lover of Krishna. Although foolish common people criticize this position, such behavior is glorified by those who are wise in spiritual science. Therefore, learned members of society and the revealed scriptures praise such single-minded devotion to the Lord. Such was the gopi's behavior. The term in this verse 59, vyavichara dushta, corrupted by deviation, indicates the apparent resemblance between the gopi's behavior and that of ordinary adulterous women. Text 60. Nayam striyon ga unitanta rate prasadha soryoshitam nalina gandarucham kutanya ratsotsave sabujadanda grihita kanta labdashisham irudaghad vajavala binham. When Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasalila, the gopis were embraced by the arms of Krishna. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resembles a lotus flower. And what to speak ordinary worldly women who are very beautiful according to material estimation. Vishnu's commentary. Sri Krishna, the best of all avatars, exists on the highest platform of purity and morality. And thus, Krishna always remained praiseworthy by all, even while accepting worldly criticism for his cow tending, wandering in the forest, taking meals with young monkeys, stealing yogurt, and seducing other men's wives. Similarly, the gopis, or the essence of Krishna's pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, achieve the highest standard of purity and auspiciousness, even in comparison to the goddesses of fortune. And thus the gopis are supremely glorious, even though they were criticized by worldly people because they were mere coward women living in the forest and behaving in an apparently improper way. Uddhava said, "Oh, even Lakshmi, who resides upon the chest of Lord Narayan and who has enjoyed unlimitedly with him, never got such mercy. What then to speak of the women of heaven, the wives of Lord Upendra and other incarnations, who possess extraordinary beauty, good qualities, and fine fragrance like that of a lotus?" This verse 60, establishes the supreme position of the Brajagopis in that they achieved the rare mercy of being embraced around their necks by the arms of Krishna during the Rasa dance. This implies that among all auspicious events, the Rasa dance is the most excellent. Text 61. Asammahocharana renujasham maham syam brindavane kimapi gulmalatoshadinam yadushyajam sojanam aryapatam chahitwa bejor mukunda padavim shutabir vimrigyam. The damsels of Braj have given up the association of their husbands, sons and other family members, who are very difficult to give up, and they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda. The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons and other family members, who are very difficult to give up, and they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet. Vishwanath. Uddhava said, "As it has been proved that the gopis' love is the most rare to attain, it would be improper to desire their love. Therefore, it was with lack of judgment that I previously said, quote, that Mahabhav which those desiring liberation, the liberated and devotees like me hanker after. But now, with proper consideration, let me correctly express my desire. I want to be born as some low shrub, creeper, or grass upon which the gopis will place their feet, Asammahocharanarenu. But one may question, what is that supreme excellence of the gopis' worship that you desire their foot dust rather than that of such exalted personalities like Lakshmi?" Uddhava replies, "I have never seen such intense worship where one can break all the mundane principles of religiosity, shyness, and sense control. Every night, the Brajagopis give up all shame, their respectable upbringing and religious codes, which are as hard as thunderbolts to break, and run off to meet Krishna. At the time of returning home, they are completely oblivious as to whether they are following the right footpath or not. Then, at that time, they will place their blessed feet upon my head, which will be present there in the form of some blade of grass. As for now, even though I pitifully beg for it millions of times over, they are not willing to put their feet on my head. Therefore, my life will be successful only if I am born as a blade of grass in Vrindavan. Text 62. Yavai Shriyarchitamajadbir Aptakamer Yogeshwarer Apiyaratmani Rasa Goshtyam Krishnasya Tad Bhagavatat Charanaravindam Nyastam Staneshu Vijahu Parirabhyatapam. Uddhava said, Lakshmi Devi herself and Brahma and all the demigods who are masters of yogic perfection can worship the lotus feet of Krishna only within her mind. But during the rasa dance, Krishna placed his feet upon the breasts of these gopis, and by embracing those feet, the gopis gave up all distress. Vishwanath. In this verse, Uddhava again glorifies the Mahabhava of the gopis, which is inaccessible to Lakshmi and others. Uddhava said, Indeed, the gopis relieve their mental anguish at the rasa arena by embracing the lotus feet of Krishna to their breasts. These are the same lotus feet that Brahma, Lakshmi, and others worship in their minds, but can never touch directly. Desiring to touch Krishna's lotus feet, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all their desires and taking austere vows. Text 63. Vande Nanda Brajastrinam Pararenam Abhikshnasha Yasam Harikatod Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam. Uddhava said, I repeatedly offer my respects to the dust from the feet of the women of Nanda Braj. When these gopis loudly chant the glories of Sri Krishna, the vibration purifies the three worlds. Vishnu. After glorifying the gopis, Uddhava offers his respect in this verse by saying, I offer my respects to the foot dust of the coward women of Braj continuously, as long as I do not get birth as a blade of grass, which will make it easy to get their foot dust. Their loud songs about the form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna purify the three worlds, removing the contamination of ignorance. Vishnu goes on. Among all the devotees, those who worship Krishna are the best, since Krishna is the original form of God, Swayam Bhagavan. Among those devotees who worship Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, those who are his immediate associates in his pastimes are more intimate because of their loyalty in following him. Among these intimate associates, Uddhava is the best, for it is said about Uddhava, Tvam tu Bhagavateshvaham. Among the devotees, I am Uddhava, Krishna says in Uddhava Gita. And in the third canto, he says, Nodavo vapi manyuno. Uddhava is not less than myself. Despite his extremely elevated position, however, Uddhava himself desired the bhav of the Brajagopis and had the greatest regard for them. Uddhava did not offer such respect even to Krishna's queens in Dwarka. Among the gopis, Sri Radha is the highest, and following her is the highest achievement. Uddhava took permission from the gopis, and Mother Yashoda and Nanda bade farewell and mounted his chariot. Nanda and others approached him with items of worship, tears in their eyes, and addressed him as follows. During Krishna's Pogunda and Kaishor ages, Nanda and the other Brijvasis had collected many jewels, gold coins, and pearl ornaments, and during Krishna's youth, many clothes. Now, in their feelings of separation, they lost interest in keeping these things, so they offered them as gifts to Uddhava. Nanda and the other coward men said to Uddhav, Manaso vrityo nasyu Krishna padam bhujashraya vachubhidaya nir namnam kayastat pravanadishu. May our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. May our words always chant his names. And may our bodies always bow down to Krishna and serve him. Karmabir brahmyamananam yatra kvapishvarechaya mangala chariter danne ratirna Krishna ishvare. Wherever we are made to wander about this world by the Supreme Lord's will in accordance with the reactions of our fruit of works, may our good works and charity always grant us love for Krishna. Vishwanath. Nanda Maharaj said, Our dear long-lived Uddhav, we, Krishna's mother and father, have been most hard-hearted toward our son. Even though he is a great ocean of beauty, good qualities and character, and we remain so even now. We understand that the abundant affection and care we previously showed Krishna now appear to have been artificial, since even in Krishna's absence we remain alive. King Dasharath was actually the only real father in this world, because he immediately died upon hearing his son Ram had gone away. We, on the other hand, do not have even a trace of love for our son, Krishna. Therefore, this omniscient son of ours has rejected us as unqualified parents. Being the supreme personality of Godhead, he has used his inconceivable ingenuity to make Devaki and Vasudeva his parents instead. Therefore, Yashoda and I should be completely condemned as the most unfortunate persons in three worlds. Nevertheless, perhaps in some future lifetime we may become aware of Krishna as he is and become attracted to him. Nanda goes on, May our minds take shelter of Krishna's feet. This is his statement. And Vishnu comments, This statement is actually a reversal due to great love. In reality, the mind and senses of Nanda and Yashoda were always absorbed in Krishna, but out of humility they prayed in this way. This indicates the extreme predominance of the sanchari bhava of dainya, or humility, within Nanda and Yashoda. Moreover, it is the nature of those who possess Krishna prema and sakya, vatsali, or madhurya to become indifferent to themselves as repositories of love for love's object. Krishna, due to the extreme hopelessness they feel in separation from him. Hence, in their excessive humility, Nanda and Yashoda forget their own proper moods and instead take up the mood of servitude and dasyabhava. An example of Dasya Bhava appearing in the context of Madhura Ras as follows. Radha said, Hey Nata Ramana Preshtan Dasyaste Kripanayame, O Master, O Enjoyer, bring this wretched maidservant to you. 10:30-40. And a gopi said, Kvachit api sakatana kinkarinam. Does Krishna ever talk about us, his maidservants? 10:47-21. This verse 66 gives an example of Dasya Bhava arising in Vatsalya Ras of Nanda. The cowards headed by Nanda said, May our mental functions always take shelter at Krishna's feet. Even though they spoke like this, even in a state of ecstasy, Nanda and Yashoda would never give up their parental relationship with Krishna and speak like Vasudeva and Devaki, who who, due to being overcome with awareness of Krishna's opulences, Aishwarya Gyan, said, "You are not actually our sons." Thus honored by the Brijbasis, Uddhava returned to Mathura. Even though Uddhava was very attracted to Braj, due to being fully devoted to Krishna, he returned to Mathura, which was being protected by Krishna. In this verse 68, Sukadeva intends to criticize Krishna, for if Krishna is protecting Mathura, Mathuram Krishnapalitam, which the verse says, why does he not also protect Braj by coming there, which is part of Mathura district? Upon returning to Mathura, Uddhava fell down at the feet of Krishna and described the intense devotion of the Brijvasis. He described how the Brijvasis had unlimitedly more devotion than the residents of Mathura. Uddhava said, "Oh, Prabhu, Krishna, all the scriptures conclude that you are controlled by pure devotion, attained by devotion, and seen only by devotion. Now I have directly seen that among all your devotees, the Brijvasis have the most intense devotion. After all, your father Nanda has said, 'Oh, Krishna, everyone in Gokul has turned white in separation from you. This has even fooled the sage among the demigods, Narada, to mistake Gokul for Svetadvip. Krishna, your father Nanda Maharaj was so much bewildered in your absence that he prayed that his mind would concentrate on you. From this you can understand his overwhelming attraction to you. And your mother Yashoda was so choked up that she could not say anything.'" Upon hearing Uddhava's report of his visit to Vrindavan, Krishna lost control of his mind and senses and cried loudly in the midst of the public assembly in front of King Ugrasen and Vasudev and Balaram and others. That night, in a secluded place, Uddhava revealed to Krishna the blazing subterranean fire of the gopis' love for him. After Uddhava related to Krishna just one day of the divine madness, Divyonmad Mahabhava Sri Radha, the crown jewel of Krishna's dear gopis, and her wonderful prattling, Chitrajalpa, Krishna stayed up the whole night burning with fever in separation from Radhika.